Genesis chapter 4. Genesis chapter 4, we've looked at Cain. And I'm on H, verse 16. Has everybody got that? I don't know. I've got page 48. I'm somewhere around in there.
44.
Just to remind you, next week we won't have Bible Institute. We'll be at the men's camp. Genesis chapter 4 and starting down at verse 16, we're going to look at a world divided, 4 and 16. And Cain went out from the presence of the Lord, and dwelt in the land of Nod, on the east coast of on the east of Eden. And Cain knew his wife, and she conceived and bare Enoch. And he builded a city and called the name of the city after the name of his son Enoch. And unto Enoch was born Irad, and Irad begat Mehujael, and Mehujael begat Methusael, and Methusael begat Lamech. And Lamech took unto him two wives, the name of the one was Adah, and the name of the other Zillah. And Adah bare Jabal, he was the father of such as dwell in tents, and of such as have cattle. And his brother's name was Jubal, he was the father of all as handle the harp and organ. And Zillah, she also bare Tubal-Cain, an instructor of every artificer in brass and iron. And the sister of Tubal-Cain was Naamah. And Lamech said unto his wives, Adah and Zillah, hear my voice, ye wives of Lamech. Hearken unto my speech, for I have slain a man to my wounding and a young man to my hurt. If Cain shall be avenged sevenfold, truly Lamech 77-fold. Adam knew his wife again, and she bare a son, and called his name Seth. For God, said she, hath appointed me another seed instead of Abel, whom Cain slew. And to Seth, to him also, there was born a son, and he called his name Enos. Then began men to call upon the name of the Lord. Now the world gets divided. Who remembers why they're divided? What happened that caused this rift into two distinct lines? We have Adam, was Eve. They have three children. First one being, who was the firstborn? Cain. Abel. Ultimately, we're going to have Seth born. Now, the problem comes in where doesn't list any sisters, but we know that they're sisters because they end up marrying them. But as you run down here, Cain kills Abel, so his line is ended, right? So Cain starts to have children and grandchildren. And they go on down. Cain has been blocked from a relationship with God. What caused that? Did God predestine him to be separate from him? What happened there? John, what happened between God and Cain?
Cain didn't repent. So
good. Now, Cain murdered Abel. Alright, there was a distinct problem between the two of them. Murders, and God says sin's crouching at the door and about ready to conquer you. And you need to repent. You need to flee from the wrath to come. Cain says, I don't understand. God, why are you making this so hard on me? Why am I the problem? And just started to complain. And Cain goes out from the presence of the Lord. What a thought. What a thought. Can anybody get so hard that they can never return? It is. Yes, Pharaoh did it. Cain does it. Don't you think that people in this world, when you're witnessing to them, don't think that you're talking to people, boy, and now let me just rephrase that because we can't judge, but don't think that you're not dealing with people who have gotten so hard that there's nothing you could do. You couldn't do anything to bring them back. Not even a nuclear war would drive them to their knees. In the book of Revelation, I'll show you something. Go to Revelation. I'll show you an attitude that's here today. And Revelation chapter 16. And this is not the exact verse. Maybe I can think of the other one here in a moment. In verse 6, 17, and the seventh angel poured out his vial into the air, and there came a great voice out of the temple of heaven from the throne saying, "It is done." And there were voices and thunders and lightnings, and there was a great earthquake, bad disaster, such as was not since men were upon the earth. So that means that is the greatest earthquake ever will be occurring at that moment. So mighty an earthquake and so great. So it is a worldwide earthquake. And the great city was divided. Jerusalem was divided into three parts, and the cities of all the nations fell. And great Babylon came in remembrance before God to give unto her the cup of the wine of the fierceness of his wrath. And every island, including Ireland, fled away. Sinks. Tsunamis are going around washing away entire islands. Fled away, and the mountains were not found anymore. And there fell upon men a great hail out of heaven, every stone about the weight of a talent. And men blasphemed God because of the plague of the hail, for the plague thereof was exceeding great. In the midst of all of that, all they did was get angrier at God. And I'm trying to remember where the verse is where it says they cried out for the stones to fall on them and the mountains to fall on them. Where is that? And is it chapter 18?
Oh, it was the star.
Well, you could be right. You're usually right. But I'm trying to remember. It's somewhere around in here where it just shows you no matter what God does, they just get angrier and angrier and angrier at God. And I thought it was on the right-hand side on the bottom of the page, and I can't find it. So just understand that there are people, and unfortunately, they're getting younger and younger and younger today, where they are so hard.
Revelation 6:16.
Quoted.
Said to the mountains and rocks, "Fall on us and hide us from the face of him that sitteth on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb."
Wow. They would rather die than face the wrath of God and humble themselves. So Cain would rather walk away from God than get right with God. You ever know anybody like that? Look in the mirror. There are days where you would rather stay hard, stay proud, and say, "No, I'm not giving in." And it's just a small attitude of what's out there today. And it's a wicked, wicked attitude. Cain had. He was eat up with that attitude. Now, there are two people groups now. There is Cain's society. So we've got here, on this side, it's his world. It's Cain's world. He goes off to the land of Nod, or Tir na n'Og, wherever you want to believe. Uh-huh. And your fill-in there is Cain's society, and it is made up of the most of the people of the day. There are fewer who are staying on this side. You have Seth later on, somewhere around 130 years later. Seth has children and grandchildren and great-grandchildren. And this society here is going along just fine, because in his lifetime, people begin to, they begin to turn to God, all right? He's affecting them away from God. He's helping people get right with God. All right. Very quickly.
It's just about Thomas says, "For God said she had a point, an old sin instead of here, but who can slow?" So like that saying, it looks like to me like that saying, he's the next son after Eve.
Okay. Unless all the children that Adam and Eve are having, and you can sometimes tell when you do get children, God has his hand on this person. Okay. All right. When Hannah had Samuel, that was a special child, okay? Now, Eve, to her, when Abel died, she realized that, man, a special child was killed. And now comes a replacement. She's had lots of children, but none of them seem to be making the mark like this guy is. So here in verse 16 is a very important thought. Cain went out from the presence of the Lord, and when he left the presence of the Lord, he immediately entered the dominion of Satan. It's also interesting that the word Nod in Hebrew means wandering. Anyone that leaves the presence of the Lord always wanders from here to there seeking rest. If you ever go out from God, you'll never be happy. Mm-hmm. I don't care, saved or lost, you may be happy in the pleasures of your sin for a season, but there is no joy. And 1 John 2, 18-19 informs us that some went out from the church and were not even part of the church, but were of that wicked one. Cain, this thing, when Cain, it's hard, I got so much to say, but Cain, he physically was of Adam and Eve, but spiritually, who was his father?
Yeah.
Yeah. So when Jesus refers to the Pharisees and he says, ye are of your father, the devil, it was the lowest cut to them because it was as if saying, you're like Cain. And that was rough, okay? Now, people started dwelling with this rebel. They gravitated. And don't rebels gravitate together? There was such an attitude. And these were all the children of who? Can you imagine the grief that Adam and Eve had watching their children go away from God and hang around this older brother? The people decidedly moved away from God and from God's people and all became angry and then apathetic towards God. D, they migrated which direction? They migrated east. Okay? Now, this is a very important thing. Okay? When the earth is spinning and, you know, it's going this direction, when you decide to go east, you're going against God's direction. See, the symbolism here is fantastic. When mankind spread out, which direction were they sent out? They were always going west, always going west. Mankind has always moved east to west. And when you want to be a rebel, you'll go the opposite direction. And I'll just say this. If God said, let's go east, the world would have gone which direction?
West.
So it's just amazing. You tell your children, don't do that. They go, oh, I got to do it. It's a revelation that no matter what direction you're going, you better check and say, am I going the opposite of where God wants me to go? Well, the Holy Spirit always moves. And when Paul and Barnabas and all these guys move, they don't go east. As a matter of fact, when Barnabas and Paul do try to go east, what does the Holy Spirit say? No. When they tried to go to Bithynia, tried to go to Asia, the Holy Spirit stopped them. But when they got that vision to go west into Greece, to Troas, they took off. Yes, Weston, look.
Is the world going around the sun? West, isn't it?
Not going around. It's turning. It's not going around the sun, but it is spinning on its axis. And we're moving east to west. Okay.
But it is going around the sun.
Well, it is, but he was asking about the sun, but it's about the rotating.
Yeah.
Yes.
What?
Nope.
I saw.
Cain gets married. Let me move on. All right. Cain gets married to one of his sisters, or maybe one of his nieces. At that point, he might have married somebody younger. Who knows? He marries someone that is just as rebellious as himself. And you better marry somebody who's more spiritual than you if you want to stay right with God. Okay? And number F, Cain's line, Enoch means initiated, yes, sir?
Yeah, is that for the man, Nick? You're not supposed to marry someone more spiritual than yourself.
What do you mean you're not?
Is that what you said?
I said you should marry somebody more spiritual than you.
Yeah, but how is that going to work? We said that to a woman, is it?
Yes, that's right. Because the two of you need to be looking for the best, not for the easiest. Most everybody's like, there are too many people who the first wink means a ring.
Yeah.
Instead of, you know what, I better make sure she's right with God. I really hope she's more right with God than I am. And when the two of you are looking for somebody more spiritual, you both will be trying to be more spiritual, and you both will turn out the better for it. So, Cain's line, Enoch means initiated. I-N-I-T. I-A-T. E-D. Or only the beginning. So Cain names the city as if this is only the beginning. This is the initial beginning of a great empire. Irad means a wild ass, a wild donkey. Mehujael means smitten of God. All these guys seem to have a bad attitude. Lamech means the destroyer. This is what you're naming your children. meet the destroyer.
That's
right.
The whole idea was not in your combat they want to be like. It's like that's like predestination.
It actually isn't. Let me say, sometimes you can name your child and develop their character by how you look. When you name them, that's going to be the environment you're going to build them up.
Right.
If you name them like some of the Nigerians, they call their children precious, blessing,
yeah.
Honor. But if you name your children, I had a person named next to us when we were in Austin, Texas, when I was growing up. We had a guy, he was a Jew, I hate to admit, he was a Jew, and he had his child, and he named his child, let's just say he called him Jonah, but he never called him Jonah, he called him I cannot say what he called him. He'd come here, and he'd say, come here, little. And I mean, you're going, why don't you call him that? But he was proud to call his son a filthy word. And that's how, you don't think that all parents are nice and sweet. Some of them create demons. So, Lamech means the destroyer. And let me say this also. Sometimes the name of a child is innocent. It doesn't have a meaning until that child grows up and he defines his name. That's my choice. I want to define what the meaning Craig is instead of what somebody else has defined it. I defined it by my life, and that's how I live. Even if my parents called me, like, who's the guy in 2 Chronicles 4 that prayed? It starts with a J. Jabez, thank you. Jabez, when his parents named him Jabez, they named him, what does his name mean?
It means
pain in the neck or trouble or something like that. And Jabez redefined his name, which is a good thing. So he breaks the mold. Up until that point, everybody's married only one wife, and Lamech says, I'm going to take two of them. And he's the first to violate the fundamental ordinance of marriage, one man, one woman, for one life. Ada, who was Jabel, began tent making and raising cattle. Zillah has a son named Jubal, who's a musician. You ever hear the word jubilation? That came from that. I'm not sure if jabalation, Jubal, is that how you pronounce it? I think jubilation looks right. Yeah, it looks wrong, but it's right. Tubal-Cain was a master teacher in brasswork, and Naamah was one of the sisters. Lamech's sons are very intelligent, but a man being smarter does not make him a better person. You can educate a sinner, but all you get is an educated sinner. And that's more dangerous than what you started out with. And notice that none of the people in the lineage have their death recorded in the Scripture. And to God, they are forgotten. The memory of the just is blessed. But the memory of the unrighteous shall rot, the Bible says. So it's funny how God records the death of godly men, but he just ignores the death of these ungodly. The troubles of Lamech. Lamech commits the second murder in the Bible. He knows he's in trouble. But he, again, only worries about whether God would protect him from the anger of the society he lived in, instead of about the other family and what he had done. Isn't it amazing? We only worry, when you do something wrong, we only worry about us having to pay for it. So he was rude and dangerous, fearing not God nor man, and with him the curtain falls on the race of Cain. So you get Lamech down here. That's as far as you've gotten, and Lamech is still only the beginning here. But he's got two wives. He's already murdered somebody. Where is this going to end up? It's the world that Noah grows up in. That's the world that Noah grows up in, where it's just murder and sex and abuse and entertainment. You've got musicians playing. You've got beauty and human achievement. That's all that's going on, and there's no God at all. Then you get the other side, and you get what is referred to as God's people. All right. These people are going to be kind of a rare breed. It's going to get to be very, very hard to walk with God. In verse 25 and 26.
Is that the fill-in? This is God's people.
God's people is your fill-in. And they are few in number. 25 and 26 says, and Adam knew Eve, his wife, again. And evidently he's been doing that for quite a while. But it's 130 years later, and she bare a son and called his name Seth. For God said, hath appointed me, given me another seed to replace Abel. All the other children, nice and everything, but this one's a special one whom Cain slew. And to Seth, to him also there was born a son, and he called his name Enos. Then began men to call upon the name of the Lord.
And question about something. Mm-hmm. If God has given Eve, Della, a wife to replace
Abel, son. Yeah.
Do you know, like, he's making him God's person, like, God's people. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, that's okay, because we've seen that. Remember, we have a promise made to Adam and Eve. What is the promise? No. What is the promise that God gave to Adam and Eve? There would come a deliverer, right, somebody who would kick Satan's rear. So it can't come through this way. And all the other children that Adam and Eve had have no interest in God. So now you got Seth, and that, as far as Eve is concerned, this now is the son that is bringing people back to God. This is where the seed will come from. This is how God will bring through a deliverer. So that's how she's seeing it, and that's how she's understanding it.
Well, I know that, but like it says, God has appointed all,
Yeah, as far as she's concerned, you can't see what God's saying. You just see that she says, all right, this seems to be... Listen, Abel was the one who was doing things right, who was worshiping God right, who had the right attitude, and the Messiah could have, should have come through Abel, murdered. So now another one's come up who's going to be able to be used of God.
Yes. So it's just that, so we don't know, and Adam knew his wife again, and she bare a son, and called his name Seth, for God, so she had appointed me another seed instead of Abel, whom Cain. So what, is she saying this from the beginning of the book?
Maybe, I don't know. I don't know. At some point, she sees something in him. I don't know that it's at his birth. You just know, it's very brief. It says, given a son, he's got a son, a grandson to Adam and Eve. And Eve evidently notices something in him.
So, this mightn't be at the, the associate from the time of conception.
Yeah, don't be too precise. It doesn't give you that information. I don't know.
Yeah, so you know that, but see, if it is, see, it's like predestination.
I know. Well, you know that's not true, so it's just, it may look like predestination, and that's how come people pick it up. But you're going to look at it and go, take a step back. I cannot see where time is there, so I'm not going to read time into it.
I know, but see, for me, Andrew, if I'm reading it, it's like that. It's like the time when she's she's just having the baby. Like, you know what I'm saying?
I know, but just don't miss the fact that Rachel has, Rebecca has, Isaac's wife, has two nations in her. Okay? The angel tells her that she has two nations, and she knows one's going to serve the other. The older's going to serve the younger. So she knows that from conception, even after conception. So don't put it past that some of this stuff God already knows. And he reveals it to her. He doesn't predestinate. Oh, he just knows it, okay?
That could be the rest of us,
eh? Yes. Okay? So Adam and Eve have more children. Part of trusting God is going on with life. If one of your children if one of your sons murdered another one of your sons, how easy would it be for you to go on with life? And yet they did. You see, the Christian life is not all about sorrow and carrying sorrow to your grave. If you stay sorry and sad about the instances of your life, you are grieving the Holy Spirit and you're hindering His work in your life so that you can serve God. God uses broken people. So don't worry about the fact that you've had failure after failure after failure. You're going to have to get on and get back to where you serve God and let Him be your success. Adam and Eve do that. They have more children. And they try to raise them for God. With God, it doesn't matter what the devil or even man does. He will always work out his plan to bring in the promised Savior and get to the cross. So Eve tries to see God's design in her life in naming her children. Here, she has hope. So far, according to Genesis 5:3, Adam and Eve have only seen trouble and sorrow in life. Look at chapter 5 and verse 3. And Adam lived 130 years and begat a son in his own likeness after his image and called his name Seth. So when Adam was made, whose image was he made in?
God's.
Made in a perfect garden. Had the same attributes as God. Loved the same things as God. Everything was fine. Now when Adam has a son, whose image does he have? His image. So it's really grieving that Adam says, you know what? I never saw how wicked I was until I see it in my son.
Yeah, would it be saying to himself, well, apostle, that pastor, and Adam lived...
Verse 3, chapter 5 and verse 3.
And begat a son in his own likeness, after his image. It's not saying before the fire, no? Hmm? You've seen something inside him.
Wait. And Adam lived 130 years.
Yeah.
After the fall, okay? All right. So, now Seth could have been named something sad, but instead he was called Seth, which means replacement. Isn't that a cute thing to call your kid? Hey, you're the replacement. and I found out, you know, over the last 10 or 15 years, parents who have children, and one of their children has had, what's that disease that they've had? And they've had to, get a bone marrow transplant from somebody of the same family member, same blood type, same everything, and they would particularly have a child to, in order to get a bone transplant from that child to save their older brother or sister. And you don't fault them for trying everything. But now they want to have clones. Say one of their children has died, and so they want to take the DNA and create a clone to replace that kid that was... Look, just have a natural kid, all right? People get so obsessed with replacement. Here, God provides a replacement. And he always does replace what we lose, thankfully. Remember Job? How many children did he have, Alberto? How many children did Job have? Who knows?
Seven.
10. He had a total of 10. They all died. So after the ash heap and the sorrow, the couple of weeks where he just goes through hell on earth for a while trying to deal with grief, all of a sudden he and Mrs. Job get back sweet together again and they get 10 more. And God replaces them. So whatever you lose and whatever the devil costs you as you try to serve God, God will always replace them. Seth goes on and has a family and a son, Esau. Enos means mortal. Adam and Eve learned in just a few years just how mortal everyone that they held dear was. And the older you get, the sooner you'll find out just how people drop off the face of the earth without you even realizing it. People are mortal. And it's at this point that men begin to call upon the name of the Lord. They begin to want to get right with God. And again, this is free will in motion. From Cain's effect on society, you can see for the past 100 years, people were angry and bitter against God. But now they started calling God Jehovah. Look at the capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D. They called on the name of Jehovah. Now they didn't understand it, but they were calling on the right God. God's people will forget this name in time. But Abraham will continue this part in worship now. Cain's typology. Look at Cain. Number one, both are murderers. How was Cain like the Antichrist? Both were murderers. Jesus said, you're your father, the devil. He was a murderer and a liar from the beginning. Both were of the wrong seed. Both have marks. Did you notice that? God put a mark upon Cain. And there will be a mark of the beast in the future. Both are cursed because of one man's sin, which was pride. Both are extremely intellectual. Cain was second smartest to Adam. Both are very religious. Cain was the first one to get up and worship. It was Abel who was running around trying to catch a sheep, while Cain has already prepared and he's organized everything. He's got it up first.
But the Antichrist is—he doesn't worship any god. It says.
Ultimately, that's not true. Not true. And now you're actually going into particulars. You're very precise. He uses worship. Okay? The Antichrist cannot get to the place he has unless he has a false prophet. Now, in his heart of hearts, he's not worshiping anybody but himself, correct? And when Cain brings his sacrifices, he's not worshiping God. He's showing off himself. So it's showing the truest nature of the Antichrist and the truest nature of false worship. All false worship worships self, not God.
Right.
All right, that's the point. So yes, you're right on the surface, but deep down you start digging down and you realize, Cain didn't worship God. He was worshiping his own success and his own best efforts. Both offer good works to get to heaven. Both reject responsibility for other people's souls. They say, I'm not my brother's keepers. Both have their own way. We have the way of Cain. Jude verse 11 says, what does that say? Go to Jude verse 11. Yeah, both, but, I thought there was something about, don't go that way. Yeah, okay, yeah. There's all three of them listed there. No, I was thinking the way of the Antichrist. Jesus says, I am the way. But the Antichrist has his way. Let's see, 11. Yeah, woe unto them, for they have gone the way of Cain, greedily after the heir of Balaam, and perishing against the corn. I was looking for the way of the Antichrist. Both lead people away from God to build their own kingdom on earth. Both are damned with no hope. Both rebel against God with their tongues. And both yet say they believe in God. Demons believe in God, but they don't trust Him. They don't worship Him. They don't love Him. They don't follow Him. Yes, so Weston?
When was hell created?
Evidently as soon as the devil fell. Because it was created for the devil and his angels.
But when did he fall again? You...
Just before he walked in the garden.
Just before?
Mm-hmm.
So?
Because the garden was only created the day before Adam and Eve were created.
Was hell created in the center of the earth?
Yeah.
So there was a better place on earth already before...
Nope. Can't figure that. All I can figure is that the Bible says hell was created for the devil and his angels. And Satan has to fall on between day 5 and day 6 because it says in Ezekiel chapter 28 that Lucifer walked in the garden. So he's walking around in the garden when he was yet perfect. Then iniquity was found in him. So he has to die, or not die, he has to fall between day 5 and day 6. So don't go too particular. You have to look it up yourself,
okay.
And you'll see it. Abel's typology with Jesus Christ is both were shepherds. God likes shepherds. I mean, when God wanted to make a great leader out of Moses, what did he humble them to become? A shepherd. What a thing. The greatest king Israel ever had next to Jesus Christ was a shepherd. Solomon wasn't the greatest king of Israel. David was. Both were unknown in their birth, not recognized as being very important. Both were murdered over religion. Isn't that funny? Abel was murdered, just like Jesus was over religion. Both were hated by their own kind. They weren't hated by the... Jesus wasn't hated by the Gentiles.
And it was by envy.
And by envy. Both had the respect of God the Father. Both had their blood cry out to God. Abel's for vengeance, and Christ's blood cries out for forgiveness and mercy.
Sorry, what do you think of the theory Abel Cain represents the Jews? That was a...
Impossible.
They killed Jesus, the brother, and ended up wandering and, stuff like that.
Impossible to make it very match. According to John, you have your father the devil, the Pharisees were like Cain's religion. The Jews to be like Cain, that's pretty harsh. Okay, they still were God's people. Cain never was God's people. If you want to look for some characteristics, we're all like Cain. We've got a lot of Cain in us. That's our flesh. One's a flesh, one's a picture of the spirit. And there's a lot of flesh in us. But to make that Jews, that would be really, really rough.
As the Jews are not cost.
They cried out and they said, "His blood be upon us and upon our children." They invited a curse on themselves. Right. Now, they're not cursed like Cain was.
Yeah.
But they actually brought trouble on their life, and they've had it, man, ever since the cross. The Jews have been the most hated people of all time.
Do you know the way God says that he would bring vengeance on whoever kills Cain? Or he does the same with the Jews, whoever attacks the Jews, and he brings vengeance on them.
You make an interesting point. There are some parallels. I'd have to really, really carefully look at it. Because I would hate...
I just heard that before.
Yeah. Well, believe me, everybody loves... Typology is not a bad study, and you should study types. But you can get so... You can become so particular that you throw away all other types to establish your new doctrine, your new typology. And I'd be very careful, because God does... Say over and over in the Bible, don't follow the way of Cain. Da, 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 da. But I don't know. That'd be harsh to say that represents Israel. I don't know. They are enemies for Christ's sake, but they are God's. They are elected and they are chosen. For the elect's sake. What is
beloved
it? They are beloved for the Father's sake. So Cain, I don't think he can match.
The Messiah came through the Jews.
They come through Seth. Yeah, he's just saying in typology, just like I was showing some types, this is the type of the nation of Israel. I don't see it. There's some similarities, but I don't see it. There's just that's just too rough. Okay. All right, don't forget to do your study questions. That will help you in preparation for the final. Chapter 5. Sorry, yes, sir.
Only it's just a science question. I thought the earth spun this way. I mean, the sun comes up in Ireland before it comes up in America.
I may have it going in the opposite direction.
The sun would rise in the east.
I just thought that...
you might be right. I was trying to sit there.
I'm trying to think of Apollo when they went over to
the
spin below them.
Let me think. If you're looking at the Earth...
Left to right.
The Earth... All right, if the sun's here...
Yeah.
It is going this way.
Right.
All right, going east.
And it rises in the east first.
Yes, sir.
So it's supposed to go west.
But all I know, okay, all I know is everywhere God moves east to west, and when somebody goes east, they're going against God, and there's something there, whether you want to understand it or not. I just took a shot at it.
I was just wondering.
They rotate, you're exactly right, it rotates that way. It rotates counterclockwise.
And is it going along the sun east?
I don't know.
Is the wall going along the sun?
I don't know which direction... If the Earth's going clockwise or counterclockwise around the sun, I just know it's spinning.
I think it's clockwise around the sun, but counterclockwise in its rotation.
So it's going west.
I think it's going around the sun this way.
It's going along west.
It's like patting your head and rubbing your
head. So that's the sun.
Just believe me. You start to accumulate all kinds of different things, and you can't remember which was right or not.
He's going to where the world if he was going, you know.
Well, I mean, when you start to look at typology, you got to be careful because you can sort of just pick some things that make sense and things. That is the direction of the world. The world is going against the sun, and when you go east, you're going with the world. You're going with the world if you're going east.
Well, that's the idea.
So that may be the idea.
We're going.
Yeah, and yet God says go against the world and go west.
Yeah, yeah.
So that's interesting. Again, typology is really, got to be careful not to do it. I just try to make very simple things because you can't catch yourself out. 1 Corinthians 15, 22. Let's see, John, would you read that? We're in chapter 5.
What was that reference?
1 Corinthians 15, 22, top of your page.
For as in Adam, all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive.
That's really a great summary. Chapter 5 is about death. Okay, it's a genealogy taking you from Adam to Noah. And this is not a complete lineage of Adam. It only talks about the children listed in the Bible that are important to the redemption of mankind. All the children that came along between Abel and Seth aren't listed. They're not important. We just know that they're there because Cain marries one of them. And Seth marries as well. So if everybody if the Bible listed everybody that's ever been born, it would have gotten so big to be a book after the fourth generation. It would be only good enough to be a telephone book, not a Bible. So this chapter is important because it ties into the genealogy of the Messiah, the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. There are several interesting passages here to make note of and to remember for future use. Consider the following things. The chapter covers 1,656 years, if you go by Usher's chronology, which I do. And allowing that the years of Adam and Methuselah overlap, you come... Sorry? You don't have chapter 5. Oh, okay. Give me just...
No, it's not in it. No, people only chapter 4.
Okay. You're going to need that. I tell you what, why don't you look on with him just so we can move on, and then you can fill in the information. I can print it out in a little while. Here's a family history. Let's look at the book of the generations. Verse 1 says, this is the book of the generations of Adam. In the day that God created man, in the likeness of God made he him. Now, I remember Kent Hovind saying that phrase appears 10 times in your Bible. Generations, the book of the generations. Starts. You remember that in Matthew chapter 1, it says the book of the generation of Jesus Christ.
So
that word means genealogy. It's going to show you the family history. Yes, sir.
Well, that means genealogy.
Yes, sir.
So, like, how long is a generation? Could be any length.
Well, I mean, I have from the time that we had Sharon, I think I was 25 or 26 years old. So my generation... Until Sharon, my firstborn, was 26 years. That's it. Some generations are 40 years till the next kid. It can fluctuate. So it's just from parent to child to the grandchild to the great grandchild. It can fluctuate. Okay. This is the same wording that can be found in Matthew 1:1. From these two passages, we see the reality of verse 3, in that Adam had children after his own likeness. What were they? Sinners. The second Adam, the Lord Jesus Christ, has children after his likeness that never die. That is, we are born again and receive a new nature. In Adam, all die. However, all those in Christ shall all be made alive. Verse 22. So 10 times in the Bible, you see the word generations. Each identifies the head of a specific race of people or of creation. So you have verse number 1, you have the generations of the heavens and the earth, the generations of Noah, of Shem, Ham, and Japheth, of Terah and Abraham, Ishmael, Isaac, Esau, Jacob, Aaron, and Moses. And then it comes to Jesus Christ. And to a particular, here Adam is the head of the human race. Matthew 1:1, the head of the redeemed Christian race is Jesus Christ. So we'll review God's creation of Adam. Verses 1 and 2, it says, these are the generations of Adam. In the day that God created man, in the likeness of God made he him. Verse 2, male and female created he them, and he blessed them, and he called their name what? So when you stand before an altar one day and somebody marries you, guess whose name the woman gets?
The man's.
The man's. People don't like that. I could care less. They were both called after Adam. They're not Mr. and Mrs. Eve. I don't know. I wouldn't doubt it. They would change that. One of these days, I'm sure you'll get a... They have a gender-neutral NIV. Did you know that? So they get rid of gender identification at all. Can you imagine modifying your Bible and making it fit your... You heard about several months ago, there was a new Bible. I hate using the term. There's a new book out, and they called it the Queen James Bible. They had so modified it in order to make it so that it promotes homosexuality, promotes love between anything and everything. And really, they ought to call it the Bestiality Bible. Because if you start loving same sex, where are you going to stop that? If you can get sex from anything and you can be in love with anything, you'll never stop. So we come down to Adam and Eve were both created the same day. They were both married that day by God. Two people run around naked need to get married real quick. Amen? That was a good thing if you think about it. They both took the name Adam. Here we have Mr. and Mrs. Adam, two people, one name. This particular method of recognizing a married couple is still in vogue. It's still the right thing 6,000 years later. It is the biblical way of marriage naming, not the retention of the wife's name. You listen to these guys, I'm David Power. Mm. Where do you get those two names from? Mommy and Daddy. They couldn't decide who the kid's going to be named, so they named them both. and you don't merge the maiden and the married names. So we come around and we see Adam here in verse 3. Adam lived 130 years. And that's when he began a son in his own likeness after his image and called his name Seth. Now why in verse 3 doesn't he list Adam, Cain and Abel? Because it's not necessary to the story. Why didn't he list all the sisters? Because they're not necessary to where we're going. We're back in verse 3, Genesis 5 and verse 3, Weston.
Showing Noah's lineage.
We're going to get down to Noah. Exactly. That's the point. He doesn't want to list Cain and Abel. It doesn't need to. All right?
It's not saying he seen a man after his own image before he fell.
No. It's after he fell. His image is marred. His image is ruined. So the spirit, the spirit's dead and the soul is ruined. So when a person, when you procreate, when you have a child, that child has received its soul from you, its ruined nature you got from Papa. We like to blame Mama, but it came from Daddy. In the days of Adam, after he had begotten Seth, were 800 years. Can you imagine how much grief you'd experience if you lived 800 years? And if he had sons and daughters. And all the days that Adam lived were 930 years, and he died. So you got Adam coming up there. His name means what? What does Adam mean? Man. Which simply means from the red dirt. He lived a total of?
From the red dirt, is it?
Yes, sir. How many years did he live? 930. That's your fill-in, 930 years. During which time, he and Eve had lots of children. At 130 years of age, Adam has a son named Seth. Notice that Seth was a son in Adam's likeness.
What the Irish sons all after?
Yes. Yes. But it's just emphasizing they didn't have the likeness of God anymore. Oh, they had the likeness of Adam. Adam was made in the likeness of God without sin. However, Adam's children all have his fallen likeness, which was sinful. As we bear the likeness of the earthly father, in that we sin and we die, even more should we walk in the newness of life because we have been born again. We have the likeness of our heavenly father. You ever heard anybody? Did anybody ever tell you you're just like your father? Usually it was your mother talking. Well, hopefully somebody at work or somewhere looking says, you must have changed families because you're a different fellow. Notice the powerful words at the end of verse 5. And he died, is your fill in. Now, I read a lot of people say 5 is the number of grace. I'm not sure that's true. 5 seems to always be connected with death. There 5 is the death is the number of death in the Bible, as far as I can tell. There are 5 steps leading to the altar of death in the tabernacle. Messiah has 5 wounds. Yes, sir?
Because he won the false prophets and that died of a natural death, was he?
No. Remember Cain killed... Oh, of natural death? You can't figure. Again, it doesn't matter. I'm sure there was other death. Okay, I haven't charted it out or whatever, but you're not interested. You just know people are dying.
Yeah,
okay, people are naturally dying.
Yeah, because I just think because they know that time before the flood it was different. Like, and that's
they were living longer, but they still died naturally. Yeah. He wasn't the first one to die naturally. No.
Even though it doesn't say it, we don't know.
That's right. So you have 5 steps leading up to the altar of sacrifice in the tabernacle where they killed. There are 5 wounds on the side. You think of that. There are 5 wounds. Not 4, not 6, but 5. Satan used to be known as the 5th cherub that covered the throne of God. He brought death and is the power of death. 5 seems to be... And so what chapter are you in?
5.
It's kind of interesting. What verse do you find the first death listed?
5.
The first natural death. I mean, you know murder back there. But it's just curious. Again, look at the things. You don't know how far to take it, but it does make you sort of stand up. Every person born must die. Hebrews 9:27. There is an exception. And this is a general rule. It's not absolute. One person doesn't die, but will in the future. Elijah. But there are some people who never die. So the first one there is Enoch. He will never die. And Christians alive at the time of the rapture. So, Eric, somebody says, all people have to die. So Enoch, who was raptured, as we're going to see here in chapter 5, he's got to come back as one of the 2 witnesses, and he has to die, right? Isn't that right?
Mm-hmm.
No.
No?
No.
Okay. You said, sorry, I'm not awake this morning.
Mm-hmm. If you meet and you read a lot of literature, you'll get people getting the idea that, well, we all have to die. So people who have been raptured in the Old Testament, like Elijah, he comes back. We know it's Elijah as one of the 2 witnesses, and both of the 2 witnesses die. So we know one is Elijah, and Elijah went up in a rapture. He did, didn't he? Yes, and he comes back and he dies. Well, Enoch went up in a rapture. He's going to come back and die, right? Oh, wait a minute. What about you and me? When we go up in a rapture, does it mean we're going to have to come back and die? No. When we get raptured, we will be changed and we'll never die.
There's definitely Moses and Elijah.
It is death because it tells you the characteristics. One of them turns water into blood and the other one stops it from raining.
Can I ask you a question?
Enoch doesn't fit those. Yes, sir.
I was reading Zechariah recently and it says the 2 olive branches that stand before the God of the whole earth or something.
Right.
And then if you look in Revelation 11, it says the same thing. I think it says the 2 witnesses that stand before the
That's
God
right.
of the whole earth.
That's right.
So if it was back in Zechariah before Christ, why would Moses be standing before the God of the whole earth? It would make more sense if it was Elijah and Enoch, wouldn't it?
Why would it have to be Enoch?
Because he went to heaven, like, whereas Moses couldn't have gone to heaven before Christ came. And
you're implying that those olive branches stand before the God of heaven at that point, but that would violate. Jesus said, no man comes to the Father but by me. So when Jesus went to paradise, he took captivity captive. He took everybody that was in holding, and he took him to heaven. Nobody went to heaven, even though it says Enoch got translated, he did not get brought before the presence of God. Even though it says that Elijah went up to heaven, I believe he means up into the sky, but he did not go to the presence of God. It's impossible to go there without Jesus Christ, or we don't need Jesus.
But where did Enoch go?
Paradise.
Well, like God says, God took him. Like,
I know God took him, but it took him from my presence, but didn't take him. If he was able to get to heaven without Jesus Christ, then there's a back door. And Jesus said, I am the door. So if we didn't have the New Testament, you and I would be debating this. But because I have a finished revelation that says, no other way, no other way, then he evidently went to the same place that Abraham went. And that was to paradise. And he was waiting until the Messiah came and preached to the spirits in heaven. Preached to the spirits in paradise and took him captive. So kind of complicated. But I don't think it's either. It just, when you look at all the evidence, Moses. I don't know why he's Moses before. I just think Moses in his life was as an olive branch. Branch of the menorah. Okay?
So the transfiguration was Moses and Elijah.
Yes, sir. And so there are a lot of things that point to Moses, Elijah. And you just leave it there. Enoch does not die, and neither do we when we get raptured. That's the point. Let's see, number D, Seth. We have the lineage of Seth in verse 3. He calls his name Seth, verse 4. In the days of Adam after he had begotten Seth were 800 years, and he begat sons and daughters. And all the days that Adam lived were 930 years, and he died. And Seth lived 105 years and begat Enoch. Can you imagine your first son being born at 105? Can you imagine staying up all night, Eric, when you're 105?
I never made it.
I'm telling you, when we... I'd never had a grandkid, so here comes when we stayed with Joel and his wife, and we could tell how ragged they were and how tired they were taking care of little Noah. Noah was just 3 months old or something like that. And so Nita says, we'll take him. And I looked at her. I said, this is going to be a trip. And for 3 days, Nita and I took care of Noah during the night. And first of all, Noah knew he wasn't with mommy and daddy. Number two, he knew that whoever he was with was not being as nice as mommy and daddy. I would let him cry or whatever, but all night long. And I was 47 years old. Now I'm 50. If I was 105, he has a son at 105 years old. Now they live longer, but it's just the thought of it that's just shocking. And he begat Enos, and Seth lived after he begat Enos 807 years, and he begat how many? We don't know, but he begat lots of sons and daughters. And all the days of Seth were 912 years. He almost lived as long as his daddy. And he died. Now, Seth means appointed or God's provided replacement. He lived 912 years. He has a son at 105. By this time, there are lots of brothers and sisters who've been born to Adam and Eve, as well as to Cain and his wife, and now to Seth and his wife. It was during the life of Seth that people began to turn back to God. They began to want to get right with God. That's free will. It's because of Seth that people started getting right. I wonder, it's because of you that people want to start getting right. There's this woman named Ellen who's got some filthy, wicked TV show. It's because of her that people are going to hell. It's because of her that are manipulating 15 years old. It's because of people like, what was that children's band? The four girls that sang Spice Girls. It's because of girls like that that damned 9, 10, 11, 12-year-old girls into thinking their bodies are the most important part of their lives. We need some Seths today. We need some Seths who will get people to turn back to the Lord. From Cain's effect on society, you can see that for the past 100 years, people were angry and bitter against God, and yet here they are starting to call on Jehovah. Enos, verse 6, we have the next one. Seth has Enos. Jump down to verse 9. Enos lived 90 years and he begat Canaan. And Enos lived after he begat Canaan 815 years and begat sons and daughters. And all the days of Enos were 905 years. And he says it again, and he died. He keeps repeating himself, and he died. Enos means what? Remember what we said? Mortal. You know, his daddy, Seth, has the right attitude about life now. He looks at his son and he says, one of these days, he's going to die. Now, he lives 905 years, and he has a son named Canaan. Verse 9, and Enos lived 90 years and begat Canaan. And after he had Canaan, he lived 800 years. During verse 12, and Canaan lived 70 years and begat Mahalalel. And Canaan lived after he begat Mahalalel 840 years and begat sons and daughters. And all the days of Canaan were 910 years, and he died.
Is there any connection there with the land of Canaan and him?
No, this is a different way of spelling, too. Okay. Different way of spelling. Okay. His name means possession, though, just like the name Canaan does mean it, but it's a slightly different way to spell it.
Possession.
Possession.
Is this Mahalalel?
No, this is Canaan. Now, Mahalalel comes along, and if you'll run down to verse 15. And Mahalalel lived 65 years, begat Jared. And Mahalalel lived after he begat Jared 830 years, and begat sons and daughters. And all the days of Mahalalel were 895 years, and he died. Mahalalel means the praise of God. Now, it probably would be pronounced this way, Mahalalel, because the last two letters there, El is for Elohim. So Mahalalel would be how his name is pronounced. Like hallelujah. That means praise the Lord. So the praise of God. Jared's the next guy. Starting down there in verse 15, he has a son named Jared. And jump down to verse 18, Jared lived 162 years, and then he begats Enoch. So, let me ask you this. As you start going down these names, do you think Jared is the firstborn son of Mahalalel? I'm making you think. Somebody tell me.
Not necessarily.
Good. Why?
Well, I suppose, for one, I don't think it gives you an actual reason. It's just there could be another one before him. There might not be, it doesn't really matter. It's only interested in this particular person.
Good, good. That's the point. It's a matter of interest. It's a person of interest. So as you come along, we know that there are lots of children coming from Cain's relationship with his wife and his children. So Adam and Eve, you don't have those listed. And then all of a sudden Adam and Eve has Seth. And you have Adam and Eve and lots of children. There's so many children coming along. So when you come along here and you get Mahalalel, let's just call it Ma, and it's 100 and how many years till he has a child?
165
years.
65.
Oh, is it?
Well, it was 65 years when Jared had.
Am I in the wrong person? Jared, sorry, I said Mahalalel. Jared, and Jared lived 162 years, and he begats Jared. So here I said Mahalalel, this is Jared. The idea is this. I did pick the wrong person, sorry, that was Mahalalel. Jared has got lots of children, but the one of interest is his son. What's his son's name?
Enoch.
All right. Enoch's the key guy that we've got to get to talk about. And it was 160, and I keep forgetting, I'm just running through here, 162 years before he has Enoch. So he's had lots of children before Enoch is the idea. So don't think that his firstborn son is Enoch. No, just the first kid that came along that God could use is Enoch. All right. So Jared, his name means descent, as in going downhill.
Descent.
Descent, D-E-S-C-E-N-T. From the birth of Jared until the flood is 1,000 more years. Evidently, from this point on, things are going downhill. The Canaanite descendants are conquering the godly descendants. As is usually the case, the godly man ceases, in that they dwindle in numbers. There will be few that are saved in any dispensation for the following reasons. Because there's not enough soul winning, not enough preaching, not enough care about the lost. Because Christians are enamored by the world and by the glitter. The world always being attractive, and the world always is, because that's how they make their living. And the devil is very slick and subtle and smart. And human nature naturally goes downward unless constantly being on top of it. They can't control it. So Jared lives 962 years, and he has a son named Enoch. Enoch, his name means initiated.
What's that?
I-N-I-T.
Yeah.
I-A-T. E-D. As if fully ready. And Enoch seems to be ready to live for God and ready to live with God. He lives 365 years. He's the seventh from Adam. At 65 years of age, he has a son named Methuselah. Now, Methuselah is one of those names you ought to remember. All of these names are particular, but one of them is Methuselah. Evidently, it was the birth of Methuselah that caused a radical change in the life of Enoch. So he became such a man of faith. Go to Hebrews 11, 5 and 6 there, Barry. Hebrews 11, 5 and 6. We have Seth. Seth's a good guy. Seth comes along and it says that Seth starts to get people to turn back to God. But Enoch's something else, man.
So, is that Enoch's son?
That's Enoch's son. Methuselah is Enoch's son, and he has Methuselah at 365 years.
So, wait, does he have an effect on his death?
Sorry?
What did you say? Well,
he has an effect on the world.
Well, that's how I thought it was.
Okay. I'll show you two verses here. Go ahead there, Barry.
By faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death and was not born, because God had translated him before. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him.
Now go to Jude chapter 1, only one chapter, verse 14. He pleased God. So much so that God said, you know what, I'm going to let this guy die. Because all the previous verses, what does it say? Three words. Okay. And he died. And so-and-so came along, and he died. And so-and-so came along, and he died. But you come to Enoch, God took him. All right, go ahead there, Barry.
And Enoch also, the seventh from Adam, prophesied of these, saying, behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000 of his saints.
All right, so it actually records a bit of one of his messages, where Enoch preached and prophesied of the coming wrath of God. Yes, sir?
Because I just don't understand. No, it says, evidently was the book of Methuselah, whatever, that caused a radical change in the life of Enoch, so that he became such a man of faith. I don't understand that.
Okay. Enoch lived 60... I use the word evidently because up until that point, you don't know anything good about Enoch, but watch what it says back in Genesis 5, verse 21. Enoch lived 65 years, and he begat Methuselah. And Enoch walked with God after he begat Methuselah 300 years, and he begat sons and daughters. So, I said 365. For 65 years, you've got Enoch going along. At the birth of Methuselah, after that, he walks with God until his rapture. So it gives you that little word after can mean nothing, meaning that, okay, we just lived. But, boy, it says after Methuselah was born, he walked with God. So, evidently, the birth of that son changed his view of God and changed his focus, so he sought to please God from that moment on.
Is that his false form, huh?
We don't know. No. Don't read into it. Firstborn, secondborn, fifthborn, 500th born. No, you don't. If it's not there, if you can't make sure, you got to stay back.
Well, no, but if you don't read into it, you won't ask questions.
No. I'm not, you're welcome to ask questions. I'm saying we can't tell. That's my point. You can't read into it what you don't know. All I know is that kid changed his view of God. And many a man is a waste, is a rebel, is selfish until he has a child. And all of a sudden, he becomes dependable. He comes home at night. He's worried about paying bills. He wants to make sure mama's happy because of the kid being born. So, very quickly, I just want to try to finish this up. it was evidently the birth of Methuselah that caused a radical change in life of Enoch so that he becomes a man of faith. And this is a direct reference to the New Testament church being a people of faith just before the rapture. How sad this is not the case, but it should be. In Genesis 5:24, it says Enoch was not, as if to say he's not there anymore. We find a man who's a type of the church age saint living in the end time before the rapture who does not taste death anymore, or not going to taste death. Enoch was such a godly man that he did not die. I met a pastor who said, you know, I'd like to try to be like Enoch. I'd like to attain to the resurrection. I'd like to miss the resurrection, he was actually saying. I wish I just want to live so godly that God keeps me around until the rapture. I thought, is that a good thing? That is a great thing. Why live like the devil and God have to judge it? Why not live as godly as possible so that you can live until the rapture? Revelation 4:1 is a picture of what takes place at the rapture. One can almost say that this is the verse where the rapture takes place. By comparing scripture with scripture, we find an open door. We find a voice inviting John the Beloved up to heaven. We find the voice sounding like a trumpet. We find John the Beloved as a type of the church. And Jesus also made the statement that if he so desired, John would live until he returned. So the church will be here when Jesus comes for the rapture. Another very important thought here is he walked with God. Underline those words. The fact is, he walked with God. God didn't walk with him just because he loved his company. Enoch stayed in harmony or fellowship with God. Amos 3:3 says, can two walk together except they be agreed? It's amazing that God wants to walk with us. The question is, will we want to walk with him? The testimony of Enoch is a far cry from many who play Christianity today. There are those who believe they can take the Lord anywhere and feed him any old meal from the world. But Enoch didn't have that mindset. As far as the Bible record goes, only Adam has actually died. All the others are still alive, including Seth and Cain.
Didn't they just die?
Well, it says that he died. What?
Like they all died.
Yes. But if you chart it, if you chart these things out, who's writing Genesis?
Moses.
Okay. So as far as Moses is concerned, all these people do die. But when you start to chart these things out, and I don't have it in there, but you have Adam, and then Seth, and then who's the son of Seth? Enos, and then after him, Canaan. I'm not sure if I'm right. Don't crucify me. But they all run out nearly the same amount of time. And by the time you get Enoch and Methuselah, and you run that thing down, the flood's coming here. It's just a couple of hundred years from the time of Adam's death until the flood. And Methuselah, he dies right the year of the flood. But the point being that by the time Enoch dies, those guys are still alive. All right? Now, on the top of my head, I don't have all that chart, but it's there.
Enoch flies, you mean?
Yeah.
He said dies.
I'm sorry, by the time Enoch flies. That way, thank you. That's a better term. By the time he's out of there, a lot of these guys are still alive. The first one that's died in the list is Adam. Okay? In the list. And I'm not sure I've got Adam here. It should be maybe back here, okay? Maybe Adam dies right here. But it's just a unique thing. The distance, I've got the chart wrong. I should have printed that chart out. The chart from here to there is just 500 years. From the time of his death, it's just 500 years. And these guys live right up into that time frame just before the flood.
So there's a picture of the wrath of the chart and the tribulation, is it?
Yep. And the coming wrath of God. So Methuselah, let's finish this down.
I want to try if we can.
His name means his death shall bring. His death shall bring. Somebody reworded and says, when he dies, the end shall come. And that's a possibility. But his death shall bring is the literal meaning of it. And it implies when he dies, something's coming. It's funny how his parents knew that. But Enoch was walking with God at that point. At 187 years... Oh, sorry. Methuselah. Let's read that. 21:27. Jared lived after he begat Enoch 800 years. He begat sons and daughters. And all the days of Jared were 960. He had 2 years and he died. Enoch... Oh, I picked up the wrong verse. Verse 21. Enoch lived 65 years. Begat Methuselah. Enoch walked with God after he begat Methuselah 300 years, and he begat sons and daughters, and all the days of Enoch were 365 years. And Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. Methuselah lived 187 years, and he begat Lamech. And Methuselah lived after he begat Lamech 782 years, and he begat sons and daughters. And all the days of Methuselah were 969 years, and he died. Now, when you look at Methuselah, He's the oldest man of whom we have any record, dying at the age of 969 years, actually in the year of the flood. Now, see, when you read the NIV, you're reading the text the NIV comes from, has extra years on there, and it's one of the freakiest things. Methuselah dies after the flood, when you add up. Now, that's from the Septuagint. If anybody ever tells you, well, the Septuagint is much more accurate Bible that the Hebrews need to read from than the Hebrew, that's a lie. The Septuagint was a Greek translation, very poor one, of the Hebrew Old Testament. And in simple terms, the Septuagint has Methuselah. When you add up all of their ages, Methuselah dies after the flood is over, like 20 years later. It's kind of stupid. Okay, only Noah and his three sons go through the flood, not Methuselah. So,
I thought all the Bibles use the same Old Testament.
No. They'll constantly refer to the Septuagint in the Old Testament. In the New Testament, they constantly refer to Wiscott Hort text. But they use the Septuagint to overrule the Hebrew. Okay?
Can I ask a fast question? It's just that, you know, when people say, when they're debating with the Bibles and they say, that they're going by the original Greek text,
mm-hmm.
what do they mean by that?
They mean in the New Testament, they think that they have an older copy than what the King James Bible used, and that's not true. They may be in some ways older, but they're not more valid. That's a very complicated thing to just talk about at this moment, but they'll say we're using the originals. And fact number one, there are no originals.
Right.
We only have copies of copies of copies of copies. But when you lay them out, it's like a detective. You can find out which one's true and which one's been messed with. Okay, we're going to have to stop. I wanted to try to get to the end, but we can't. It's just not possible because there's too much material to cover. We'll stop with Methuselah.
Is there a specific connection between Cain's sons being named Enoch and Lamech, and then also Seth Flanders, Enoch and Lamech as well?
You know, both the names. I've tried to figure out why, and maybe there's a competition going on. There aren't as many characteristics telling you age and things with Cain's children to be able to pinpoint the time frame where there might be a competition. Okay. So I can't. I actually show you on the next page. You've got the chart of Adam's sons. It'd be interesting to find out if you could chart Adam, Seth, Enos, Cain. If you could chart Adam, Cain, and all the way down, which I've done. I just don't have it here. But try to pinpoint by years and see if maybe. Well, I've got a Cain too. I mean, I've got a Cain in two, and because. There will come the descendants that are Canaan after the flood, that are from Ham. And he'll call his son Canaan. No, his great-grandson. Well, no, his son, Ham's son's name is Canaan. He gets the curse of his father's sin. And that's where Canaan land has come from. But that's after the flood. Okay, so whether there's some competition going on, I don't know. You know, it's like today. How many Johns do you know? How many Marys? We're born from the 1950s, you know. It's a very popular name, maybe.
Yeah, it's just you just get the impression from the names of especially at that time that each of the names were very specific.
Mm.
You know, they weren't just like here's a John.
Yes,
you know,
that's right.
It's like this is the name because of mm-hmm. whatever. That's just you know why would you name another child? You know why would Seth and Cain have the same names even though they're very different meanings.
I would like to do that. I have that chart somewhere where they lay out, but I couldn't find kind of the goal. I wasn't sure where to go with it, but maybe we can lay the two of them together. Versus Seth's. And see if there's something we can see that's kind of neat. All right, we'll take a break.